Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number for you to call. You can get in on the conversation with us. Bring up whatever is on your mind. It doesn't matter the topic. It's Free Talk Live. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And we have a lot of things to talk about. We already have a caller on the line. I titled the show tonight, Congress Censures Representative, because I thought it was kind of crazy that they're doing this official thing called censuring someone for her opinion about Palestine and Israel. We're going to get into that, but first, we're going to get to your phone calls and thoughts. Dave Ridley from the RidleyReport.com, just RidleyReport.com, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Ridley.
Hey, yet another New Hampshire government abuse. This one helped by the federal government, as is often the case. So this is a reminder that Ian Freeman is not the only person getting an excessive sentence for doing nothing really harmful. This is a drug case. I guess a guy named John Santiago, a.k.a. Freddie Muniz, they just gave him 20 years to life for having allegedly a pound of fentanyl.
Wow.
And allegedly intending to sell it.
Well, they can just say that you were intending to sell it if you have, like, bags in the car or
if you have cash or whatever. But, yeah, pound sounds like a lot.
That does sound like a lot of fentanyl, for sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to find out where he's locked up, but it doesn't say.
Where is he from?
It's in New Hampshire, but I don't know exactly which town. It was Hillsborough County.
Oh, but it's
County.
In New Hampshire? Yeah, in Hillsborough County.
Yeah, Hillsborough County Superior Court. The DEA was involved. And it's a nice time to remind people that another time when the DEA was involved, they wound up in a shootout, shooting up, you know, back and forth in a hotel and ruining the hotel in Manchester. Oh. Remember when that happened about 4 years ago?
No.
I did not hear about that.
There was one I heard about in 2011 that killed an old lady, or it might have just injured her, but they were at the wrong house. They were shooting it. They were saying that they were looking for her grandson or something, but they somehow ended up at her house, and he wasn't even there, and they were shooting in, and they injured this old lady in Manchester because he had drugs, supposedly.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to write this guy, I guess you would just Google fentanyl sentence New Hampshire, and it's all over the news.
So
and someone probably has information there on where he is, but it's John Santiago.
Yeah, he's been sentenced already.
Yeah, 20 years to life. And in fact, it looks like maybe
that doesn't make sense to me, right? Because, like, is it 20 years or is it life? What is? If he's already sentenced, right, doesn't that mean they would have already decided, like, how much time he's serving, or?
The Union Leader article says, quote, Santiago was sentenced in Hillsborough County Superior Court to a stand-committed sentence of 20 years to life, unquote. And there's a second 20-year sentence hanging over him that is currently suspended.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I see
that's what it looks like.
I have a similar article pulled up on actually the Department of Justice, NH.gov. It's saying he had approximately half a kilo of fentanyl. This was in Hillsborough County. I wonder what town. It must have been, I'm assuming it's like out towards Nashua area. I think that's a little bit more popular in that neck of the woods. But either way, I mean, it's definitely I have a hard time with this because I am not a fan of a lot of these drugs. I mean, I've seen way too many people die. I've like had to resuscitate like with my own hands way too many people because of this stuff, but it's tough because it's like people buying this stuff, like it's voluntary. If this dude is in jail, you know how many other people in Lawrence, Lowell, you know, like all of these other places where this stuff is really prevalent and really popular. Like, you can literally buy this anywhere. So
they're going to take a spot immediately.
That's the thing. Like, so this guy's in jail now. Big whoop. Someone else is going to be selling this.
And,
so it's
and
like,
it's going to make the drug more expensive anyway. So, and more people, you're not going to change how many people want to buy fentanyl by locking somebody up. What you're going to change is the price and the way this drug is sold.
And if it's more expensive than it should be naturally, then you're just going to have more people doing like crime in order to get it.
Yeah.
I mean, if we are in agreement that there's a problem with fentanyl and it's dangerous, that's not the point of argument. The point of argument is that this problem is happening in an environment of drug prohibition, not an environment of drug freedom.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we were having all kinds of problems with fentanyl in an environment of drug freedom, then you could start criticizing the drug freedom if you wanted. But, you know, in Portugal, when they legalized all this stuff, the drug problems went down. So I bet that wouldn't hold much water.
And a lot of people will say, oh, well, in Portland, Oregon, you're having all kinds of crazy crime right now. And
I'm sure that was happening before.
And you were, but it has gotten worse. But
okay.
Also, there are other laws that make crime happen, like their leniency for homelessness, and they just give everybody money to do nothing, surround, do nothing.
Yeah, it's not
miserable.
An isolated
right. It's like
thing.
There's so many other reasons why, and there's no there's terrible gun laws.
Yeah,
it's like if you just suddenly legalized all drugs in New Hampshire, I'm 100% sure that you'd see way different outcome because we have lenient gun laws.
We have more people carrying openly here in New Hampshire. It's just a different story altogether.
Yeah, I mean, like in general, I think a huge problem with because like obviously like the fentanyl epidemic. I mean, it feels like it kind of happened overnight, but really it started in a lot. And the reason why a lot of the people are dying and were dying, especially in the very beginning, like when fentanyl was first introduced to this area, is because they thought they were getting heroin or Percocet or, you know, these other pills, right? So, but they were either pressed fentanyl or laced with fentanyl and they didn't understand what they were getting. So that's why a lot of people were overdosing, because they thought they were getting one thing, they were getting another thing, and it was a lot stronger than what they were used to. So, and that's a side effect of drug prohibition, where people can't really have access to some of these testing materials. Is every addict going to test their bag before they shoot it?
Probably not. They just want to shoot
it. But I just don't see how making these things illegal is helping the issue.
I don't either, because what you're doing is you're allowing for people to not only engage in illegal, dangerous behavior, but you're not giving people the freedom to test their substances they're taking. You're not giving people the freedom to say, what am I taking? What's really going on here? You're not giving people the ability to have this open discussion on what kind of drugs I want to put in my body and things
absolutely.
Like that.
Well, think of it. So think of like a drugstore. Like you go to CVS, right? All of those drugs are legal.
Absolutely. And they're measured.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Tested. We know that I'm getting ibuprofen. But if I can't test my substances because it's illegal, and I can't take it down to a shop and say, hey, can you test this for me? I want to know if it's fentanyl or meth or whatever, then that causes problems.
Well, I'm even going to go beyond that. And it's like, if you could go to CVS or Walmart or whatever and buy some of these, like, quote-unquote street drugs, and I don't think it should be regulated by the government like, you know, pharmaceuticals are. Of course not. But I think if you didn't have to go into, like, a back alley to buy it and buy it from, like, some sketchy guy on the street, if it was just, like, more, not normalized, but just, people are going to do it regardless. You know what I mean? Like, people are going to do these things. So if they were able to get something that's a little bit more controlled, tested, you know, it's like, oh, I buy this brand, and yeah. I know this brand is reputable, like, I've done it before. It's just a little bit more, there's more consistency, where it's just like, oh, well, you know, I bought this bag off of a new guy, and it was way stronger, and, like, next thing you know, this girl's, like, dead in the alleyway, and there's nobody there to resuscitate her. Like, those... This is why people are dying, and you know.
This is how evil cops are. I went to a hearing in New Hampshire at the State House for a bill that actually rated this bill and reviewed it for NHLA, the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance.
Okay.
And it was really good. It was actually our state rep here in the ward that we live in Keene. She put in a bill that was going to make it not illegal to have a drug testing kit when you're found with drugs. So
that's great.
Right now, if you have a drug testing kit and you're found with drugs, I think they have to be together, then that's a paraphernalia charge. Well,
yeah.
Actually, I don't know if it is right now because I don't know if it passed. I don't remember at this point. But I went to testify and say, I think this is a good idea.
Yeah.
And a cop goes up there and testifies that he doesn't want this to be legal. This is just asking people to become drug sellers. And it's like,
no, it's not. What an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, that literally doesn't even make sense. Like, how, I don't understand how anyone would come to that conclusion. The only thing drug testing kits are going to do is make it safer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, even if you do have a drug dealer using them, at least they know what is in the stuff that they're distributing,
and,
you know what I mean?
Ilk have obviously failed at their goal, if it really is their goal, to stop people from using drugs, using the, you know, means that they use today with the laws and stuff. So not allowing people to at least be able to make sure that they're safe when they're taking the drug, because they obviously aren't going to stop, is just evil.
So,
and stupid.
When it comes to drugs and guns, I'm of the mindset, let's engage in harm reduction. When it comes to guns, if it's your first time with a gun, let's go over gun safety. If it's your first time with a substance, whether it be marijuana, whether it be cocaine or whatever, measure, test your substances, measure your dosage, know what your limits are, don't go over those limits, and stay well below those limits if you're going to use it. But otherwise, I would say don't use these substances. These substances can potentially harm you. And, you know, generally avoidance is the best policy if you're when it comes to drugs anyway. So, but if you're going to use responsibly. Know what you're getting. Make sure you're using clean needles or whatever. Make sure you know your substance. Make sure you've had it tested. Make sure it's clean. So harm reduction is extremely important.
Well, is that all you had about this guy with his case, Ridley?
Well, it's just police are always saying, well, we're just enforcing the law. And then you go to the state house and you can't walk across the hall without tripping over a cop who's there to testify in favor of maintaining, you know, the drug war and eliminating your freedoms.
That's such a great point. Yeah, that is such a great point. They are always saying that. They're always saying, well, I'm not the one making the law. I'm just enforcing it. I'm just doing my job. Don't get mad at me. But you're right. Every time I've been to a bill hearing, there's been a cop there, except maybe like the secession bill. There's been a cop there saying, no, this needs to stay illegal. We need our money. Actually, I'm not even joking. They will give as one of the reasons that they give for the thing needing to stay illegal, like whether it's DMT or whatever, is because of revenue for the cops. Like, oh, we need this for our budget. We need to be able to pull people over for this. It's crazy.
So imagine criminalizing a drug that occurs naturally in your brain, like DMT.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, are we going to criminalize melatonin next?
And what if they took the $60,000 a year they're going to be spending keeping this guy in jail for, you know, 20, 30 years and use that to, you know, for harm mitigation, like you're talking about, like educating people on how to be safer. Think how many lives they could have saved doing that instead of ruining this guy's life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just going to go to cops
because
buying their...
They don't actually care, and that's the thing. I can't tell if... Maybe it's a little bit of both. They don't care, and they're idiots. Because I talk to a lot of people about the drug war and, like, how to make drug use safer. Because that's what I'm really concerned about. Like, I don't want the crime that surrounds addiction, and also like people dying. Like, so like I like where Riley's coming from with like the harm reduction. Like, these are, if we're doing anything, like, this is how we should be helping people. Or, you know, making, you know, treatment more available, or
let's
like whatever.
Let's talk about the consequences of taking certain substances like meth, heroin, cocaine, fentanyl, ecstasy, you know, these things that people view as street drugs, these chemically laced substances that people want to use.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many better ways to, like, genuinely help people, and I think just throwing people in jail isn't the solution. And there's also, like, so much misinformation about, like, even so I'm literally reading off of the Department of Justice website, and they said, so apparently this guy, the half a kilo breaks down to 473 grams of fentanyl, which is enough to kill nearly 250,000 people. That's a lie.
That's not true.
I literally, like, I think the average person that's like an addict and is using uses 1 to 5 grams a day.
So if there's only less than
500 and we're killing 250,000 people, I mean, maybe like 250,000 like children or like completely opiate naive people. But if you're like using these substances and you have a tolerance, like, so just the way they're painting that, like, right, that's like the fear mongering, right? They're like, and I'm not saying that these drugs are good. You know, I think they're awful. I don't think any person should use fentanyl. It's
but
an awful, terrible
have to
thing.
Lie to
but
get
that's
their
the
policies.
Thing, right? Like that's the thing. It's like you're lying about it. Like this isn't an actual like legitimate representation of the potency of the drug. I mean, it's a huge misrepresentation, and it's like we need to have open and honest conversations about this. But like the lies, like any person that reads that on this website is going to be like they're full of it. You know what I mean? Like they don't know what they're talking about.
I honestly wouldn't have sat there and done the math. I wouldn't really think about it. But
yeah,
and most people probably don't know off the top of their heads how much anyone's taking.
But I mean, like just look at those numbers. Like even if you like aren't really sure, look at those numbers. Like 473 grams kills 250, like a quarter of a million people.
I feel like most
like
people,
that's kind of crazy.
I think most people would read that and think, oh, well, the Department of Justice says this is
right,
must be true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying necessarily that I would do that, but I also don't really think like that. Like I wouldn't sit there and immediately start like dividing. Like, but
yeah,
I don't even know how much
one
person takes, but you work in that industry.
Yeah,
and I'm
exactly.
not saying that makes it okay. I'm saying it makes it worse, kind of, because they just know people are just going to take their word for it.
Yeah, well, and like, if you, like, watch any documentaries or anything like that, they're like, all it takes is enough fentanyl, like a grain of salt, and it will kill you. And it's like, okay, maybe if it's really strong, but it's just like I said, like there's no regulation of this stuff because it's illegal and it's so underground. And I don't think there should be like government regulation, but like human regulation of the
people with agreements across industries, or just like people who buy it being like, I'm not going to buy from this company because they don't have X.
And that's what I'm saying. Like when you buy like Motrin from CVS, you're like, okay, this is my favorite brand because I take this one and it works better. I don't like the generic brand because I don't like the fillers in it.
And if you hear somebody sort of dying from one brand of Motrin,
you're not going to take it.
Stop using it. Yeah.
Also, the thing to remember too is that drugs still end up in prisons. And if you're a parent listening to this and you're really worried about your kids taking drugs, you know, maybe talk to them about harm reduction, or talk to them about, hey, our policy as a family is we don't do drugs in this house.
And, education.
The other thing I don't like about this story that really brought in is the thought crime aspect of it. It just should never be illegal to have an intention.
Yeah, the intent to distribute.
Can't be proven. Like, you can't, that's not proof. Because somebody has a lot of fentanyl doesn't prove that they wanted to sell it. Even if it's so much that it's like, oh, more than likely, it's not proof of what was going on in somebody's freaking brain. And that makes me mad. Like, Ian's in jail right now with a guy who he got, I don't know how much time he's in for, but he got intent to distribute, and he swore, he's like, no, and like, seriously, that's just how much I was using. I was just using that much whatever drug.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. And I mean, so like, let's use a different example. Like, when we're talking about like large quantities of stuff. So say I have 100 pounds of flour. Just because I like to buy things in bulk,
mm-hmm.
does that mean, I mean, you could say, oh, 100 pounds of flour, you're never going to use that much.
You might be willing to sell flour on the black market.
Exactly. So it's like, am I selling the flour? No, not necessarily. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't, but that actually wasn't my intention.
That's a good point. Like, so, people never would, that wouldn't even cross their mind in other products.
But that's the thing. Like, when we're talking about drugs, it's like, oh, you would, he, without a shadow of the doubt, is absolutely going to sell that. Maybe he was. Probably was. But maybe he wasn't. And that's the thing. And it's like, you don't know his intention. And it's like, you can't read his mind. And yeah, it doesn't seem right to throw people in prison for what they're thinking or what their intentions are or aren't.
Right. It's like, if you cut,
you can't prove that. You really can't prove that, especially if the person admits to it, that's one thing.
Yeah, and cops don't want to have to work hard enough to actually be, like, catching someone who is the drug dealer of this town and stopping it. They just want to be like, well, we caught a drug dealer, without having to do any kind of actual work at all.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they should have to work, but I'm just saying that's how they do it. That they want to be able to announce that they did something really big and great.
Yeah.
Without any work.
Just remember, drugs keep winning the war on drugs.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that people get punished for it like this, the more dangerous the drug war gets, the more casualties. And if we just put this stuff in CVS, like Nikki and Riley were talking about, everyone would be a lot safer from people committing crimes in order to get their drugs, and from criminals stealing their money from them to put this guy in jail. Like, you are paying for that. You're getting stolen from in order to pay for this guy to go to jail. Ridley says it's $60,000 a year. So
I just want to clarify, I wouldn't advocate for putting something like fentanyl or cocaine or speed or whatever in CVS. I just think we should talk about harm reduction if someone's going to partake.
I mean, I think, you know what, and I'm not a fan of, like, any of these drugs, really, but I don't think they're a good idea to use. I think typically, like, sobriety is better, but I will also say I don't agree, or I don't think the majority of the drugs, like the pharmaceuticals in CVS right now, most of those are also dangerous.
Right.
And I would absolutely not take them.
Right.
So, I mean, but I still think that people have, like, Tylenol, that's killing your liver, but you still have the right to take it if you feel like it, you know what I mean? Like,
also,
it's not
CVS
up to me.
CVS has the right to sell it. Like, I think that is a really terrible crime to tell business owners that they can't make money by selling something. Like, CVS having a product on their shelves that people want to buy is feeding so many families, is bringing so much prosperity, just CVS alone, not to mention, like, if it was in Walmart and everything else. And I also don't think that it's a good idea to take fentanyl. It kind of goes without saying, but I guess some people do need to hear you say it. Yeah, I think it's a bad idea to take fentanyl or heroin, and I would never and have never done those drugs. But it's not up to me if you want to take it or if you want to sell it in your business. And thank you for the call, Ridley. That is very interesting, pretty sad, you know, an abuse from the government of New Hampshire, the government calling itself New Hampshire. 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
U.S. USA News update. According to a report, the U.S. has conducted airstrikes targeting an Iran-affiliated proxy group in Syria. Fox News reporting that fighter jets were deployed for the strikes in eastern Syria. Earlier today, the Iranian-backed Houthis took credit for downing a U.S. Reaper drone in international airspace close to Yemen. Tonight, the third GOP debate in Miami will feature five presidential candidates, among them Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, Ohio entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, and South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum did not meet the criteria set by the RNC. An additional 80 trucks carrying humanitarian aid are being dispatched into Gaza.
That brings the total to 650. Again, not enough.
According to National Security Council spokesman John Kirby, efforts are ongoing to secure even more aid. John Schaefer, USA News.
It seems like every day economic news gets more and more sketchy. We're already seeing huge volatility in the stock market and a rapid erosion in the value of the U.S. dollar. But this time, an economic downturn could happen faster than you ever imagined. Direct Bullion USA, America's number one precious metals company, wants to let you know that now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Direct Bullion USA at 888-787-GOLD and get your free gold investor kit today. Don't wait. Call Direct Bullion USA now at 888-787-4653 and get your free gold and silver survival kit. With all of the uncertainty of a world gone mad, you can take control of your financial future with one call to Direct Bullion USA. Call us now at 888-787-4653. That's 888-787-GOLD.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You control Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 is the number you can call and bring up whatever's on your mind. It doesn't matter the topic. There's no taboo topics here. It's Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And we're just talking the last segment about the war on drugs and showing everybody the score. So far, drugs are winning.
I love that. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that meme. It's like a barbed wire fence, and then there's like a cat or like a raccoon or something like going, and I'm just describing this horribly, but in between the barbed wire, and it's like the war on drugs, and then drugs is the cat like very easily sneaking through it.
I bet they can do that pretty easily. They're crazy. You can just get into anything.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
So, yeah, the war on drugs update, drugs are winning. But moving on, I had this story from APnews.com that I think is pretty crazy and interesting. Apparently, the House voted, the federal United States government goons, gang group.
The parasite class in D.C.
Yeah, called the Congress, at least the House of Representatives, voted to censure Representative Rashida Tlaib over her Israel-Hamas rhetoric in a stunning rebuke.
What does that mean? I thought you were saying censor before.
Yeah, I was wondering exactly what the difference is, but basically it's a legal term, and it means that they're rebuking her, telling her
basically saying, oh, she's out of line and can't be saying such things as a representative.
Yep, she's
well, that's dumb because she can say whatever she wants, but
right.
Okay.
It's crazy. I mean, it's not even like, I haven't read exactly everything she has said. I don't know that I would agree with everything she said. I already am on the side of she shouldn't be told she can't say it.
She's a state rep.
A House of Representatives rep.
So, as far as I know, right, a state rep represents the people, right? That's the lore.
That's what we're told anyway. We're told
that's what we're
supposedly
told.
Supposedly represent us.
Yep. So, yeah, we choose these people to represent us. From what I've seen, there are quite a few people in the U.S. right now that do support Palestine.
Right.
So it sounds to me like if she's like actually representing people, I'm sure people in her district have the same opinions as her. So it's kind of crazy for them to say that as a rep, she's not allowed to say these things when she is kind of, you know, I mean, I'm sure somebody in her district has that same opinion and she is representing them.
And
so, you know what I mean?
The other thing is she's just saying things. She's not making laws. She should be allowed to say anything, even if she's the only one that's thinking it. But
the thing, too, is that the United States Constitution guarantees the freedom of speech in the First Amendment and doesn't say, oh, it's limited to only certain classes of people or these certain classes of people cannot exercise their free speech. So whether you agree with this representative or not about Palestine and the conflict in the Middle East, it doesn't give you the right to say, well, she should be censured and not allowed to speechify anymore.
Yeah, we know freedom of speech isn't really an actual thing in the United States,
though.
Yeah,
we do.
It is scary to me that they're just acting like, oh, there's only one correct opinion in this war.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't seen them really come out and say that yet, and this kind of is doing that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you, like, all the news stations, like, everywhere I look, it's like pro-Israel, pro-Israel, mm-hmm. pro-Israel. We're giving Israel money. I've said on this show before, I'm not rooting for either side of this war. I am supporting the individuals who are being harmed by the actions of governments and militaries. Like, that is whose side I am on. That's people, you know what I mean?
That's my position, too. Although, I will say that I was raised in a Christian group, a Christian religion.
Yes.
And we were taught that Jerusalem is the Holy Land, that Judea is the Holy Land, and we got to support Israel because they're God's chosen people. And yet, Islam is made up of people who say they're also God's chosen people.
Right.
So who's really to decide this?
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people are pro-Israel is because of their religious beliefs.
Right.
Because a lot of the people I see that are hardcore backing Israel in my personal life, they are all like devout Christians
or
Jewish people. And it's kind of gross to, like, say that other people should die and have their homes destroyed because of your religion. Like, maybe do some reflection and, you know, like, maybe if you believe that, maybe either, you know, your religion's off or your morals are off.
Right.
Because that doesn't really sound...
And maybe take some time to reflect and be like, wait a minute, if someone were to say that about me and my religion, how would I feel?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, I totally agree with and support self-defense, but I don't think it's self-defense when these people already got shot at and killed. Those people who shot at and killed them already killed themselves.
Yeah.
And now you're harming, bombing, destroying the homes of completely innocent people.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this is how war works,
right?
It's just, like, going back and forth with the killing and the destruction, with the intent to win. And to conquer.
Just but for me, just to be clear, like the horrors inflicted on the Jews and the Palestinians or whoever, or when Hamas attacked, are horrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, the way Israel's handling this, or the Israeli government is handling this, is also just as horrible.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, Ian, like, I'm not defending Hamas because obviously, like, those are terrorists. And
right.
What they did was absolutely horrific and disgusting. But they were responding to what Israel did to, quote unquote, their people to begin with. So, and this is what I'm saying. Like, this is how war works. It's back and forth with the killing and destruction until there's until we blow up the entire world. You know what I mean? And it's like, if they could just sit down and talk like human beings and discuss, like, okay, like, let's come to some sort of peaceful agreement. I mean, that's how you solve conflicts. When we're raising children, right, and kids are hitting and punching each other and fighting, we say, no, you're
hey,
not supposed
not
to
right.
do that. That's not nice.
But
you know?
We forget it as adults. We think that, oh, war is the best option here. We need to go bomb people back to the Stone Age. Maybe they'll be good when they're bombed back to the Stone Age.
It's like, what do you tell kids? Talk it out. Use your words. And
right.
It's like, why can't governments do that? These are the people that are ruling the world.
The Jews?
Well, no. Yeah, definitely. But I just mean, like, governments in general.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's, like, the most, like, horrific, violent, crazy people. And, like, that's who is, quote-unquote, in control.
And
can't
reason
terrifying.
With them.
You can't yeah, exactly.
It's hard to really reason with people who are being unreasonable.
Terrorists.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah.
We do have a caller. I'm going to go to, it says Crazy Kyle. Crazy Kyle, you're on the line with us. What's on your mind?
How you doing? Well, it's constitutional, Kyle.
Oh.
But I have a conviction against, I called a while back about my car being stolen when I was at the FBI filing a public corruption complaint.
Okay, I remember you. I remember that.
Yeah, so they substantiated my complaints about the officer doing cyber terrorism to me, and they told me state, local, and federal prosecutors have told me to drop off the cybercrime substantiated report by the NYPD to federal agencies such as Department of Justice or FBI. But
what do you mean by that? What were they doing to cyber terrorize you?
So they send all my emails and phone calls and texts and all that through a proxy, and they decide who I get to talk to. So I have to give this information to prosecutors in person. That's about the Department of Homeland Security, because that's the division of the NYPD without jurisdiction that did it. So when I go down to the FBI building, contractors for the Department of Homeland Security will not allow me in the building to give evidence.
Huh.
Yeah, they beat me up one time, broke my rib. Other times they told me I don't have, I have video of this I could share with you. But another time they told me I don't have any 1st, 4th, 6th, 8th, or 10th Amendment rights. And I asked when a marshal came out, and he said, yeah, it's because of local policy.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Really crazy.
I believe it, because they take away plenty of your rights as soon as you step on federal property.
You see, the thing is, I don't think I know how they made a law breaking the Constitution, and I can't. And they're telling me to email the cybercrime information that's still ongoing. So it just doesn't make sense.
Well, any update about your car? Did you ever find the car?
Oh yeah, I got it back, and then I proved. I'm still in Georgia. My mail got stolen. My insurance lapsed. I reported that my mail being stolen a few months before to the local police, and then I found the person through a cell phone app that tells you what cell phone you're hooked up to. I was hooked up to this guy's house. Sent all the information to the police department, and then when I left, they pulled me over an hour later and told me I didn't have insurance. And I was like, well, that's part of my complaint that I'm not getting my mail. And then they impounded my car.
Dang.
And they did it a second time. Well, they just reached into my car, took the keys, and impounded it. When I told them on video, I'm not committing to a search of my car. And I told them I was a whistleblower, and then they threatened me with arrest.
Do you have a YouTube or anything where you post the video where they broke your ribs?
I could send you that one. I'll post it at FTL_Bon.
Bonnie, yeah. On Twitter.
Oh, it's Bonnie.
Yep.
On Twitter? Yeah. My Twitter is at Sasquatch Sounds.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not a, it's apparently it's a mythical thing that's happening to me and it's not real. I even made a short documentary that's called live fictional movie, in parentheses, I Want to Kill the President. And the Secret Service came and talked to me.
Whoa.
And I told them what was going on. And they didn't arrest me because they kind of knew it was true because of the Sanctuated reports for the NYPD.
Huh.
Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy. Well, thank you for the call.
Thank you for the update.
You can call in with any other updates if you get more updates about your process of complaining about that. It's interesting.
Yeah, that sounds crazy. I did not catch the first time he called in.
It was so like over a year ago.
So it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
I was under the impression it would like just happen.
I wouldn't remember that call. I mean, I listened to all of Free Talk Live episodes.
Right,
but,
yeah.
I mean,
I remember what it was.
Piling up.
It was me, Ian, and Mark were on, and it was one of the days after Ian's trial. So, like, we went home after Ian's trial that day and did the show, and definitely Mark thought that he was, like, a crazy...
Maybe that's why the caller ID...
Yeah. Somebody, whoever did the show, named him Crazy Kyle in here. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'll call you Kyle next time.
Constitutional Kyle?
Yeah, Constitutional Kyle or something like that. And then I'll just start saying Crazy Sarah, Crazy Ricky. Everybody else can be crazy. Anyways,
Crazy Riley.
That's a good ring to it, you know what I mean?
Sounds like an old Western cowboy bad guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Crazy Riley's in town.
That's funny.
So we're going to go back to this APnews.com article. It says House votes to censure Rep. Rashida Tlaib over her Israel-Hamas rhetoric in a stunning rebuke. It says the House voted late Tuesday to censure Democratic Rep. Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, the only Palestinian-American in Congress.
Oh, so she's from Palestine or, like, has some heritage in Palestine.
Right.
Okay, so, of course, I don't want to say of course, but I'm not surprised that she's supporting them, you know what I mean?
And she represents Michigan, so to your point from earlier, there's lots of Muslims there.
Yeah, so. And it's like, you know, a lot of the people I know that are from Israel, like, immigrated here from Israel, like, they are supporting Israel because that's where they're from, right? Like, those are their people. So it like, kind of does make sense. I mean, like, this isn't always the case, and I don't think you should necessarily, like, blindly support somebody just because you're from there. But, like, obviously, if you're from a place or your parents are from a place or your grandparents are from a place, it makes it a lot easier for you to relate to those people, right? So I just think it's crazy that they're, like, trying to censure her.
For her opinions about it.
Well, yeah, it's like, first of all, we already established she should be able to say whatever she wants of the First Amendment. But also, like, obviously she's going to hold this opinion. She's from Palestine.
It's like
Palestinian.
If, like, a Mexican or South American person was saying, listen, I believe that we should have open borders because, like, those are good people. I've been there. A lot of my family's from Mexico.
Yeah.
And then we censure her because, oh, well, that's technically against our law to cross illegally right now. That's just crazy.
And it's like, how do we, and to that point, it's like, how do we make change if we don't, like, talk about stuff?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think my big concern about this whole thing is that, you know, it's heated rhetoric. We're all fighting each other over this silly idea that doesn't really affect us here in the United States, except we get a lot of our oil from the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this war going on, we will definitely experience higher oil prices in the future.
Hmm. Yeah, but I think that it would affect us in some way like that, no matter what, but our government has already gotten us involved, and that really sucks.
Yeah, and, like, the money that they're, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's affecting people. And just, I think anything that's so divisive, like, we've seen this with elections, right? I mean, like, any Trump election has been super divisive.
Absolutely.
War, very divisive. Like, whenever we're picking a side as people... it makes it very divisive.
Like, it was very unpopular to be anti-war if you're talking about Vietnam or...
Yeah.
Going
what
to
are you?
Iraq,
you're not even American. Like,
right.
You know, be a patriot.
Right.
And it was also unpatriotic to criticize the war in Iraq. I remember when the Democrats were criticizing the war in Iraq and Afghanistan in the early 2000s. I remember that because I was doing a political show with a Democrat friend of mine from college, and we were talking about it, And now the Democrats seem to be war hawks just like the Republicans.
Right. Yep. That's pretty shocking to me, too.
Two sides of the same coin.
Absolutely.
Right. When I was a kid, that's how I knew, like, Democrats were against war and things like that. And a lot of the things I knew Democrats as when I was a kid, it's just not that way anymore.
Nope.
Okay, so it says the 234 to 188 tally, so like 234 voted to censure and 188 didn't, came after enough Democrats joined with Republicans to censure Tlaib, a punishment one step below expulsion from the House.
Wow.
It's crazy that they can just decide to expel someone from the House when her representatives voted for her.
Yeah, right, and it's like, yeah, I don't really believe in, like, any of this, right? But if we're, you know, like, if they're going to pretend that this is how the government works, like, that's insane.
Right.
Because, like, her people voted her in. Mm-hmm. They allegedly wanted her to represent them.
And why do somebody's representatives from
another
New Jersey and Arizona get
to
kick her out?
That's the point, right? Because, you know, and this is the, you know, the facade of the U.S. government, but, like, allegedly this is how it works. We have this big country. We have different states. We have different state reps. And the state reps are supposed to represent people in their district. That's why we vote them in, because it's like, okay, well, this person, I agree with them. I think they do a good job representing the people, whatever, you vote them in. So it's crazy that senators or other state reps in another place, another country, or not another country, I mean, another state across
like
the country. Yeah, it feels like other countries, right? But in another state across the country, far away, that don't know her people, could be like, no, she can't represent them anymore.
Right.
Well, they clearly wanted her to represent them because
right.
they voted her in. And like I said, like, this is all facade. I don't really believe in any of this crap.
And maybe this
but,
is
like,
a good thing because of that.
Yeah.
Maybe this will show enough people that this it doesn't work the way you're taught in school that
no,
it's supposed to work.
No, it doesn't.
It says that it's a step below from expulsion from the House. The three-term congresswoman has long been a target of criticism for her views on the decades-long conflict in the Middle East. The debate on the censure resolution on Tuesday afternoon was emotional and intense. Republican Rep. Rich McCormick of Georgia pushed the measure in response to what he called Tlaib's promotion of anti-Semitic rhetoric. He said she has, quote, levied unbelievable falsehoods about our greatest ally, Israel, and the attack on October 7th. That's so crazy when I hear people saying, like, Israel is our greatest ally.
Since when?
I've never met more Germans in my life. I've met more Mexicans in my life.
Well, not even just that. It's like, I've never heard of Israel being our greatest ally or an ally,
what
period,
they do to us, for us?
Until, like, I've never heard of this rhetoric until this war.
Hmm.
Like, and like I said, I don't pay very much attention
I've probably heard this rhetoric before the war, but, you know, like Nikki, I haven't been paying much attention. I just know that I was brought up to believe that Israel was always the good guy, no matter what they did.
Yeah. Well, you can't be against Israel, because then you're anti-Semitic.
Right.
Or just, you know, you're going against the Mormon Church or whatever.
Yeah,
Christian
whatever. Yeah.
Church you were brought up in. So it goes on. It says, with other Democrats standing by her side, Tlaib defended her stance, saying she will not be silenced, quote, will not be silenced, and I will not let you distort my words, unquote. She added that her criticism of Israel has always been directed towards its government and its leadership under Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Quote, it is important to separate people and government, she said. The idea that criticizing the government of Israel is anti-Semitic sets a very dangerous precedent. And she's so right about that. Continuing, the quote says, and it's been used to silence diverse voices speaking up for human rights across our nation, unquote. And I just have to agree that she's completely right in all of this. It's a dangerous precedent to say that anytime you criticize this government, you're being anti-Semitic. You're being, you know, something that no one wants to be called. You shouldn't be able to criticize this government, or you hate everyone that lives there. It's just like, I criticize the UK government kind of a lot. They pass a lot of terrible laws. The Canadian government. No one calls me English,
you're racist.
Yeah, a racist
the
against
British
them
people.
Canadians.
It's one thing to hate a group of people. It's another thing to hate the government and their policies and think that, you know, any criticism of the government is a bad idea. But I say criticize the government, criticize your leaders, take a hard look at them. Anyone you can't criticize is the person that's a dictator over you.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Says, that criticism reached new heights after the October 7th attack by the terrorist group Hamas left hundreds of Israelis dead and scores injured. Talib, who has family in the West Bank, came under heavy reproval after she failed to immediately condemn Hamas after the attack. What does that even mean? Like, she didn't condemn them fast enough? It's just crazy.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It'd be one thing if she was saying, oh, I love Hamas.
I didn't publicly condemn Hamas. Am I going to be prosecuted?
Oh, yeah, Nikki, you're now fired from Facebook Live forever.
I didn't make a Facebook status about,
you didn't
you know
sign
what I mean?
The Google Doc, the Free Talk Live Google Doc where we were all going against
Wait,
Hamas?
There's a Google Doc that I missed?
Yes.
We'll forward it to you.
Okay.
Well, you didn't sign it fast enough, so you're already back.
Yeah, you gotta go.
All right, I'm out of here.
It says, all Democrats initially stood by Tlaib and helped defeat the first censure resolution against her last week. But since then, many of her colleagues, including prominent Jewish members, have been more conflicted about her rhetoric about the war, especially because of a slogan she has used frequently that is widely seen as calling for the eradication of Israel. And this is an interesting slogan I've heard before, and I can't say that it sounds like it's asking for violence to me. It's okay, wait, I might be saying it wrong. I should probably pull up Google, but I'm pretty sure it's From the River to the Sea, Palestine Will Be Free. But it doesn't say anything about killing people.
That reminds me of that American song. Oh, what is that?
Yeah.
I don't know, I just remember I used to sing it in, like, elementary school. This land is your land.
Oh, that
yeah, song. I remember
this
that song.
This land is your land, this land is my land. That's kind of what it, like, sounds like to me. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't sound, that just sounds like these people want freedom and they don't want to be murdered. Is that anti-Semitic to not want to be murdered
exactly.
by Israel?
Okay. I found it. I found the exact thing with okay. what I said is From the River to the Sea, Palestine Will Be Free. Unquote. Like, that's the whole thing. I don't understand why.
But in America, that's like a fun kid song. You know what I mean? It's cool if you're talking about that, you know, if you're talking about America or whatever.
Right.
But the second you're talking about people in Palestine,
it's
being free.
It's bad.
That's crazy.
So, I pulled this up. It's from the American Jewish Committee. I don't exactly know what that is, but it says translate hate. From the river to the sea, it says, the catch-all phrase symbolizing Palestinian control over the entire territory of Israel's borders from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. And we'll get into their little subtitle here, this why it's anti-Semitic. Free Talk Live, more coming up. Don't go anywhere.
603-283-6160.
Thank you, Riley. More coming up.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads,
neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.